rejoice. In all that we go through and all that we face in life, we are to rejoice, aren't we? The Apostle Paul said it well in Philippians chapter 4. For some reason, he must have known that the people that he was writing that letter to, the people like us that would be reminded about years and years later, would need to be reminded to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said, and I say it again, rejoice. That's what we're going to look at this morning, rejoicing. A few years ago when our children were younger, and they were, I think our youngest was maybe about 4 years old, so they were about 4 to 7 or 8 years old. Terry received a phone call from her aunt and uncle, and her aunt and uncle asked us on the phone, they said, how would you like to go to Walt Disney World? And maybe I've shared this story with you before, but this was one of the times that our family didn't have to think twice about, because they said that they were going to provide a way for us to go to Walt Disney World. They were going to provide the stay there on Walt Disney World's large campus facilities there, in a great hotel facility. We're going to be able to enjoy that time. And so our family was rejoicing in that. And we had a lot of joy to be able to go to the place that I think one of their mottos is to bring happiness to people, to bring happiness. One of the definitions of joy is to have a feeling of great happiness. Joy means to have a feeling of great happiness. Another definition is a source or cause of great happiness, something or someone that gives joy to someone. So you can be a joy to someone. You can give that joy or that happiness to someone. Another definition of joy is the emotion that is evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So in other words, it's delight. Another way to describe joy is to have delight in our lives. One more definition is to experience great pleasure or delight or to rejoice. Rejoice. The Greek word joy appears 59 times in the New Testament. 59 times in the New Testament. It's spelled C-H-A-R-A. And I thought, all right, I'm going to get this one. I can pronounce a Greek word finally. It's chara, right? No. That's not how you pronounce it. Kim introduced Terry to a great Bible app, and then Terry told me about it. You can go into it, and you can press a button, and it'll actually pronounce the word for it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to just make sure. And it, you go into this, and it's like chara. It's not chara at all. But it is spelled C-H-A-R-A, and it appears 59 times in the New Testament. It also the word rejoicing is used 74 times. So this is an important word in the New Testament, either joy or the word rejoicing, rejoicing. It's important for us to rejoice in the Lord. Pastor R.T. Kendall wrote, Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of the American Constitution, wrote that all people have the right to the pursuit of happiness, but Christians have the right to the pursuit of joy instead, and are indeed promised it by virtue of the very gospel of Christ. It begins with the joy of forgiveness of sins, amen, and it ends with the promise of heaven that will never end, amen. It is there that we rejoice, or that it is there that we receive the ultimate bliss. But along the way, we are given a promise of pure joy. On Wednesday afternoon, just 4 days ago, on Wednesday afternoon, Terry and I had to go over to Ionia for a little while, and Terry did something that she finds a lot of joy in doing. After we had lunch together at Culver's, I stayed in Culver's, and she went and did some shopping. Okay, how many of you would say you find a lot of joy in shopping? Raise your hand, okay? So a few of you. I can handle it for a few minutes, and then I'm reading something on my phone, I'm doing something. But so what I did is I stayed at Culver's, and I said, I'll do some studying on my sermon. I'll just sit here, drink some pop here, and so I'll be fine. So she was in her state of joy. I was in my state of joy because I got to study, I got to read, and I started doing a little bit of reading on joy. And I have a book. Actually, it's the quote I just read to you from R.T. Kendall. It's a book that he wrote. It is entitled Pure Joy. And so I'm studying this this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at here in just a moment. I'm reading through this book about joy, and I'm eating this up about joy, and I'm thinking, boy, life is great, you know, and everything. So Terry comes, picks me up. We get back home and, just a little bit before the prayer gathering, and I came over here, and I noticed it was really dark out here in the parking lot. So I said, I'm going to run over to the church. I'm going to make sure the light gets turned on. As I'm opening up the door and as Phil and Ann are following me in, when they got here, my phone's going off. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And so I look at the phone, and it's Terry. She's already tried to message me. She's calling me. I'm like, oh, no, this isn't good because she's at home. So I answered the phone, and she says, Todd, the Christmas tree fell over. You got to come home, help me. You know, everything's all over the place. And I'm like, okay, so I tell Phil and Ann, I said, the Christmas tree fell over. I got to run and see what's going on. In our living room, and we had spent just hours, you know, and you know what it's like getting your Christmas tree all nice and perfect. The lights are all nice, the garland's on, all of our nice ornaments are on this tree. And I walk in the house, and the tree is just on its side. There's glass pieces all over. There's, you know, the top part, because it's an artificial tree, the top part of the tree is kind of bent over. It was just a mess. And I thought, I can't leave Terry with this. So I helped her out, and for the next hour we spent taking lights off of our tree as it's on the ground, the garland and the ornaments. Thankfully, we only lost, I think, three ornaments. She had to glue together some of the ornaments. But my joy, my excitement, my happiness that I was just studying about and I was all excited about and going to church and getting ready to pray, all of a sudden, bam, it's all like, what happened to the joy? I wasn't rejoicing anymore. But I think God was preparing me during those hours before that, because sometimes I haven't always been very joyful. Sometimes I would have walked into that situation and been like, are you kidding me? What happened? We spent hours, and I would have been complaining and fussing about this, but we worked together. We had a little bit of sorrow, I guess, because of a couple of the ornaments that were real special to us. But they're just things. We're thankful that our grandkids weren't home and the tree fell over on them. We thought about that because they were coming over the next day. That next day we had two of our grandsons there. So God timed it out just right that our tree fell over at the right time. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, I invite you to turn with me there. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read about a time. It's, I'm sure, familiar to all of you, or at least most of you today, this passage that we're going to read together. But this was a time that shepherds, it was a time when the shepherds were in their field, and all of a sudden they didn't have a Christmas tree that fell over there, but it was a time that all of a sudden, boom, something happened that just changed their night, changed their day, changed their life. And We're going to read about that. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We don't have a lot of details, or we're not really told the details about the shepherds prior to this chapter. We do know that it was a time at night. It does give us that detail. The night was no different, I'm sure, for them as any other night. It was just an ordinary night of taking care of their sheep. They were making sure that there was no wild animals around that was going to sneak in and do harm to their sheep. They were, I'm sure, already had or were in the process of counting all those sheep, making sure that they were all there safe in the fold. And that was their job, that was their role as a shepherd that they did every night. So then in Luke chapter 2, we get the feeling, we get the, it's to me at least, and maybe it's just because I've seen too many Christmas plays, I don't know, but you get the feeling that it's a quiet night. The shepherds, you know, they've counted their sheep. They're ready to maybe take turns sleeping a little bit through the night. And then we read in chapter 2, starting verse 8, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." It seems like just a nice, calm night, doesn't it? "But then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Of great joy that will be for you and all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When all the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned then and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Rejoice. Rejoice today, because I have great news for you that there is great joy available for everyone. Great joy available for everyone. Reading this passage and looking at this passage, I thought about the shepherds and how God chose the shepherds out of everyone on the earth at that time to announce the first great news about baby Jesus. The shepherds. I don't understand why it was the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds who were, I'm sure, they didn't smell the best. They were living out in fields, taking care of sheep. I mean, they smelled like sheep. They smelled like the farm, like cattle. They probably weren't liked by everyone. In fact, if you look at way back in the Old Testament in Exodus, in the first part of Exodus, you'll see that Egyptians they detested shepherds. They didn't like shepherds at all. So there were groups of people on earth that did not like shepherds. Today, I want to remind you this morning, you maybe here today thinking, nobody likes me. I'm somebody that, I don't look the best. I don't act the best. Maybe you're here and you don't smell the best. I don't know. But I want to remind you that God loves you no matter what. God loves you no matter who you are. God's joy, His joy is available for everyone. You may be like the shepherds. You may be somebody that is somebody that you go to school and people pick on you. You go to work and everybody else is popular at work but except for you. And you feel like a shepherd. Great joy is still available for you today. You can still be joyful on the inside today because it's not about our appearance. It's not about what we act like and look like. God loves you and He wants you to experience His great joy today, just like the shepherds experienced joy in their life when they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Rejoice. Great joy is available for everyone. We can rejoice today also because great joy is found in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. James said, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." Isn't that an awesome promise? Come near to God and He will come near to you. When we spend time with Jesus, He will give us great joy. I love this biblical definition of joy. I gave you several definitions of joy out of the dictionary, or I should say from Google, but they claim it was from Webster's dictionary. But here's a biblical definition that I read. Joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are and what is happening around us. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit, abiding in God's presence, and from hope in His Word. David wrote these words in Psalm 84:10. He said, "Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your courts, God, than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Psalm 4, verse 7 says, "You have filled my heart with greater joy." The more time that I spend with Jesus, the more time that you spend with Jesus, the more that we want to be like Him. The things of this world, our possessions, our toys, the things that we have, they can only do so much to bring us happiness in life. And it doesn't last long, and pretty soon we want the next greatest phone. We want the next greatest Apple Watch. We want the next greatest computer, whatever that is, or the next greatest TV, because our happiness a lot of times is connected to the things of this world instead of Jesus. But if you want joy that lasts, joy that is contagious, spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. When the shepherds went and they spent time with Jesus, they found out what true joy was really all about, what pure joy is about. There was a time when Jesus, after He grew up and He was an adult and He had a following of people around Him, there was a day when Mary and Martha were with Jesus. And Jesus was in a home. Martha was in the area where they had to prepare the food. And Martha was getting ready and getting things ready for eating and whatever else was being prepared for that day. Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She knew that great joy was going to be found in the presence of the Lord. And she wanted to do all that she could to soak up the love and the joy and the peace that she was experiencing being around Jesus. Pretty soon, Martha comes out and she's thinking, "Why, Mary, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you getting things ready with me and preparing things for our guests and for Jesus for this meal?" And Jesus looks at Martha and he says, "Martha, Mary's doing what's most important. She's spending time with me, the one thing that is needed the most." Saw that little video clip before the start of the sermon about the people that said, "Rejoice? Really? Rejoice? During this time of the year? How do we do that? We've got gifts to buy. We've got shopping to do. We've got family get-togethers. We've got Christmas plays. We've got all kinds of things at school to do and work parties, and the list goes on and on and on, and we start getting stressed out all about it, don't we? But we can rejoice because greater joy is found not in all that. That just produces more stress. But greater joy is found in the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful today that Jesus wants to give us more and more joy as we spend time with Him. Rejoice that great joy is available to everyone. Rejoice that great joy is found in the presence of Jesus. Rejoice also today that great joy is possible even in the darkest of nights. You know, it's incredible to go outside at night when the sky is clear, isn't it? I love to do that when I'm able to, and just watch and look at the stars. Look at, once in a while you'll see a shooting star, or you see things moving around up in the sky. Maybe it's a plane or something, a helicopter up there. And just, it's so peaceful, isn't it? And thinking about just God's creation and how big the world is when you see all the stars around us. The moon is shining, the sky is active. But then there are other times in life when it's really dark out. And there's no stars in the sky because the clouds are up there blocking it. You don't see anything up there, and there's just that darkness that comes. Sometimes life is like the clear sky at night. Life is just great, and we're experiencing, you know, the joy and the happiness. But then there's other times in life when it's dark, and we're going through tough times. I'm so thankful today that we can rejoice in the fact that there is joy available, even when the night is dark. In Acts chapter 16, we read there that Paul and Silas were taken and they were arrested for a reason that wasn't really a reason for them to be arrested, but people got upset with what they were doing and just how they were witnessing and spreading the name of Jesus. And so Paul and Silas were arrested, put into prison, and they were locked up into the inner cell, and their feet were locked up. This was a time where it was a dark time for them. It was in the dark time in the night. And it says in Acts 16 that Paul and Silas, at midnight, they began to sing songs of praise. And songs and hymns of praise and to God. And pretty soon, the other prisoners could hear them singing as they're praising God, even while they're in prison, in the darkness of night. And all of a sudden, the doors are opened in the cells. They're released from the chains that bound them to that to the walls in the inner cell. And they had the chance to run, to be free. But you know what happened? They're rejoicing so much that I believe that the prisoners there were thinking to themselves, how do these guys do this? They're in this inner cell, they're hearing them rejoicing. And even in that dark night, the prisoners heard the message through that praising. They heard the message of Jesus, and they didn't run. Paul and Silas didn't run. The jailer who was going to take his life because he thought, all these guys, all these people are going to just take off. Paul and Silas, they said, no, stop, jailer, stop. Don't take your life. We're all here. And the jailer and all his family that night gave their lives to Jesus, and they were baptized later on. A great miracle was performed because of the miracles of God in the darkest of night. There's been times in my life, in our life, in the life of Terry and myself, where we haven't felt much joy, much happiness because of some events that happen. And it becomes like a dark night in your soul and around you. You think, what is going on? What is going on? You can't control the things around you, and maybe other people are doing things. We've had situations where even some of our own family members have done some things that we're thinking, what happened? Life became dark all of a sudden. But God was faithful. God was faithful during all those times. And as we kept reading our Bibles, as we kept singing the songs, even though sometimes it felt like, the joy is just not there like it was, we kept going, even when we didn't feel like it. And God, in his faithfulness, he kept bringing in joy to us somehow. The enemy wants us to stop. In the dark of night, the enemy wants us to stop reading our Bibles. He wants us to stop praying. He wants us to stop going to church. He wants us to stop going to our small groups. He wants us just to stop and quit and not go to church anymore and just say, you know what, I've had it. I can't go on anymore. But I want to encourage you this morning, even if you're going through a dark night in your soul, joy, true joy is possible because of Jesus. The joy of Jesus is always possible in our life. And even when our enemy wants to discourage us, just keep going. Keep reading his word. Keep praising him. Keep coming to church. Or if you're not able to go to church physically, keep watching online. Keep doing those things that you'll be encouraged in your soul. The angels were there praising God around the shepherds. The angel announced, this is a great day. This is great news of great joy in the dark of the night. That was a great announcement to those shepherds. And it changed their life. It changed their life in the dark of the night. I love the verse, Psalm 30, verse 5. And I love this translation in the New American Standard Bible. It says it like this: weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Weeping may not last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. If you feel like it's the dark of night, keep praising. Shout for joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, it says in Nehemiah. Rejoice. Great joy is available to you this morning and to everyone. Rejoice because great joy is found in the presence of the Lord. Rejoice. Great joy is possible even in the darkest of nights. But lastly, rejoice. Great joy is life-changing. Rejoice because great joy, God's great joy, is life-changing. We don't have to stay the same. God doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to be closer and closer to Him in our relationship with Him. Like I said, the closer we are to Him, the more that we will be and act and do the things that Jesus would do. But after the shepherds spent time with Jesus, did you notice there in that passage? Maybe you've thought of this before. The shepherds changed their life. They went from shepherds that just counted sheep and protected sheep at night and during the daytime to shepherds that were rejoicing, but not just rejoicing, but they went out spreading the word to people. They wanted other people to know about the joy of the Lord that they had experienced. And they went out and they told people about this great joy that they had experienced firsthand. After they saw Jesus, they spread the word and they were amazed at what they saw. They were amazed. And then they returned to the fields. They returned to their flocks, rejoicing and praising God because of what they heard and seen, which was just as they had been told by the angel. After we've gone through times in our life that may have been dark, depressing, and in despair, and the joy of the Lord comes in a powerful way, it changes our life. It changes our life. And we want others to know about what's happened. And I hope that you're encouraged today to go out, tell people about the joy of the Lord and what God is doing in your life. Be a witness like those shepherds, because the joy of the Lord is life-changing. And I hope that it's changing your life. And I hope that you want others to experience that as well. Don't hide it in your heart. Don't hide it in here. Get it out. Get the message out. Be like the shepherds and return to people in your workplaces. Return to your school this week. Return to your households and spread the joy of the Lord this week. Glorify God. Praise God for all the things that you've heard and seen. It's so important for us to come here every week. It's so important for us to, if you're watching online, to hear the message of Jesus Christ. But it's even important for us to go. Go and tell. Go and tell the good news of great joy to all people. Whoever we're in contact with this week, whoever we talk to, whoever may see us in action, may they see us rejoicing because of the joy that's in our heart, the joy that's in our life. Rejoice today. Rejoice. Please stand with me as we close. Great joy is available to you today. If you've never experienced that joy, the joy of the Lord, you can experience that right now by inviting Jesus to come in, His joy to come in and fill you with His presence. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before You one more time before we leave this place. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your joy, for Your love, for Your peace that passes all understanding, that it guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. True joy, pure joy. It's only possible through You, Lord. So God, I pray for anyone here this morning that maybe they've never experienced Your joy before, Your true joy that wants to come in and fill us. Lord, I just pray that they would not wait, that they would just say the words, Lord, I invite you in today. I invite your presence into my life. Lord Jesus, fill me with your joy, joy unlimited. The joy of the Lord. I want that. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me with that joy. Lord, those of us that have experienced your joy, maybe in the past or we're experiencing even today, may we experience it in greater ways each and every day as we spend time with you, as you fill us, Lord, with your presence. And Lord, as we go, may we take the joy of the Lord with us. May we go in your presence. May we share that joy with others, just like the shepherds did. And may people see Jesus in us and through us and around us. And may you be radiated and your light shone bright all around. May we see life change happening and the joy of the Lord being lived out. Go with us now, Lord. Thank you so much for all your blessings. And Lord, as we go, I pray that that we would see people changed in their lives. May we come back here. If you have not come back, Lord, to take us back to heaven, may we come back rejoicing and bringing others with us here to church next week. Thank you so much. We pray now all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.